Good morning. Before I get started, I do want to let you know we have, and I didn't bring one of them up here with me, but you'll see them. We have printed these postcards that we're going to be mailing out to everybody that we know, and it goes right along with our sermon series, The Bible, and the mini series that's on the History Channel that's been going on, and it kind of it's all leading up to the big day, which is Easter, Easter Sunday, which when you know, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we celebrate his death and his power over death and our salvation, and so we want to make that day a big day. And what we've got is that that's the, you know, kind of the natural ending of this sermon series. And it's going to be, you know, kind of a big culmination. And we want to have as many people here to hear that and to share that celebration with us. So we've got these postcards. They're going to be on the table, in the foyer where the sign up sheets for our prayer time for next week is. So when you're signing up for that, grab a handful of these postcards and you can hand them out in your neighborhoods. We're going to be mailing this exact same thing out to our database that's got all of the people from our Friends Day and our VBS and all that. But what we want to do is get them in the hands of as many people in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood as we can, and just, you know, go hand them out to folks at work and say, please join us on Easter. We're going to have a great worship service together. We're going to have a great celebration together, and we want you to be here. So if we're going to grow the kingdom, and not just grow this church, but if we're going to grow the kingdom, there's one very important ingredient that we need in this building, and that's other people. See, if it's just us, then we're not growing the borders of the kingdom. So we need us, and we need other people. So we need to be inviting them and getting them here and showing them how much we care about them. Because nobody will know how much God cares about them until they know how much we care about them. Because we are God's representatives here on this earth. Amen? That we are. And if we're not giving a good word to people, if we're not loving people, then they're never going to think God loves them. And we can tell them that all day long. But if we don't love people enough to say, come and worship with us, and you're going to hear a message about salvation and about God's love, and you're going to feel God's love, bring them, pass those out, get people here so that God will be glorified on that special day. And the thing about it is the more people we get, then we can contact them and pursue them and say, hey, come and be with us. I know you're here on this one day, but we want you to be here on another Sunday, and we can start that relationship with them. So that's the important thing. So this morning we are going to continue in our series on the Bible. And this morning we're talking about not only this journey through the Bible, but specifically our journey through this life. And today we're journeying from being a victim to being a victor, to being victorious, to being able to conquer all of the things that are trying to conquer us. Do you ever feel that way, that there's just sometimes everything's against you? Do you ever feel like that you're just this perpetual victim of circumstances beyond your control, that there's almost this supernatural force that's out to get you? Do you ever feel like that? Well, if you do, you're on to something, because there is a supernatural force that's out to get you, and it's called Satan. And the Bible says that he's like a roaring, roaming lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we are on the front lines, if we are out in plain sight, doing what God wants us to do, living that life, glorifying God, he is going to take shots at us. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't feel like anything's out to get me. A pretty good life. Very comfortable. Nothing, you know, aside from a, you know, bad day here or there, but I, you know, pretty set. You need to change that. You need to get out from the comfort spot that we're in, from the monastery of our Christian hiding places, and get on that front line. Because if there's not turmoil, if there's not a strife, if there's not this feeling of being at war or being in battle, then you're probably not, and you're sitting on the sidelines, and Satan's like, I got that one right where I want them. I don't have to mess with them. If I just leave them alone, they'll stay there, they'll stay comfortable, and they might go to heaven, but they're not going to take anybody with them. So we need to maybe examine both sides of that. But if you do feel that way, if you feel like things are just sometimes just go wrong after go wrong after go wrong, take heart. God can deliver you from being that victim to being victorious. And in Daniel 2, 3, and 6 today, and don't worry, I'm not going to preach through all three chapters. We're going to hit on issues in each one of them. But we're going to realize how the Bible is telling us our story of redemption. How the Bible is telling us a story that took place, you know, some 5,000 years ago or 6,000, you know, whatever the time frame is, that the Bible's telling us a story that happened thousands of years ago, but it's happening today. It happened yesterday, and he's telling us the story of our redemption, of how he's taking, how he took those people who trusted in him, who lived a life that was contrary to the will of those in power, as Bob prayed this morning, that there are people that are in power that have nothing to do with glorifying God, and those that they didn't stand up to him, they just lived the life God called them to live in the meantime. And they were hurt, and they were persecuted, and sometimes they were victims of their own self, of their own sin, but God delivered them. He's delivering us as well. This morning I want to talk about, first off, anyone ever heard of the miracle at Dunkirk? Frank was here, he probably lived through it. It was May of 1940. Dan says, oh, I was there. May of 1940 on the it was during World War II, and it was the Allied French and British armies had just been defeated by Germany in a major battle, and they were backed up. There was 350,000 French and British soldiers backed up against the sea, the port of Dunkirk in France. And all the German army had to do was send planes to strafe and bomb these soldiers because there was nowhere for them to go. It was too many men for them to evacuate by sea, and they couldn't mobilize enough ships. And the port there is relatively shallow, and so the big ships couldn't get in to rescue them. And so they were sitting ducks. They were doomed. It was just a matter of time before Germany sent their planes in to kill them all. But a British commander at Dunkirk gave this decree. Three little words. But if not. He said, but if not. Which was a reference to a story we're going to talk about this morning of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king gives a decree for everyone to bow down, and they don't. And he says, you're going into the fiery furnace. And he says, our God is able to save, but if not, we will not bow to your image. We will not bow to your God. Our God can save, but if he doesn't, we will still stand firm. And so the British commander called for prayer and intercession, and asked for all of the soldiers to be praying for deliverance. But if not, we will not cave. And they stood their grounds and they prayed. And the weather in that part of the world changed dramatically and grounded most of the German Air Force. And over 800 fishing boats, trawlers, and yachts started showing up across that sea. And then 10 tents and miraculous days, all 350,000 of those soldiers were ferried across the sea to safety by average fishermen, boaters, and some. There's a boat, it's on display in France to this day, just a little fishing boat that would have fit up on this stage that carried 8 at a time men from the shores of Dunkirk to safety. In 10 days, the weather never let up, the planes could never fly, and the French and British armies escaped certain destruction. And to this day, it's called the Miracle at Dunkirk, because no one was lost, because they were delivered. When all the odds are stacked against us, when it looks as though our back is up against the wall, when it looks as though there's no hope, His salvation changes us from victims to victors. He changes us from the defeated to victorious. That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to see how that story translates. That story happened 70-something years ago. But it's happening today as well. Can God deliver us today? If you have your Bibles, turn over to Daniel chapter 2, because we're going to see that we too can be victorious. We can be victorious because our God is in heaven. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 48, we have a situation where the king is, King Nebuchadnezzar is having a dream. You know, Daniel is an Israelite. He's a Hebrew. He's in captivity in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar has sort of employed him as a seer, or at least as an advisor. And the king has this dream, and he assembles all of his astrologers and all of his seers and everybody together. And they say, you know, tell me my dream. Well, of course, nobody can tell you what you dreamed. And they're saying, well, just tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you. And the king says, no, you're just trying to buy time for yourself. And he says, if you can't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill all of you. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Well, when they went out to kill Daniel, he's like, whoa, hey, easy. What's going on? Why such a harsh command? The guy said, well, you know, his name's Arioch, and it was a very popular name back then. And he says, well, see, no one can tell the king his dream, and he's going to kill all you seers of things because nobody can tell. He says, well, whoa, my God is in heaven. And give me a moment to pray about this. I'll get my buds over here to pray about it too. And then I'll come to the king, and I promise you that I will be able to interpret, to tell him what he... So he gave him some time. He said, all right, take some time. So he goes back to his three friends, and he says, hey, let's pray about this. Let's ask God to reveal what's going on. Let's ask him to tell us what you know, the dream and all this. And God can do this. God is in heaven. God sees everything. And God can tell me what this guy's dream is, and I can interpret it. So they take Daniel, long story short, to the king, and he says, let me tell you about your dream. We have a video that sort of explains this, that outlines it. And if you would, I'm going to ask Matt if you would click on that black square there and show us this video of this episode in the life of Daniel.
Jewish people are forced into exile, a 500-mile journey east to Babylon.
No! No!
Zedekiah is the last of King David's descendants to reign.
Move it.
The Israelite monarchy ends here. Jeremiah is one of the few to escape. He heads to Egypt, never to return. The people have lost their prophet, their city, and their king.
You there! On your feet!
Jeremiah, right, left!
Come on!
Come on!
Come on! Victory!
The Jewish nation needs a different kind of leader to survive in Babylon. A man like Daniel. Daniel has visionary powers and is forced to work in Nebuchadnezzar's court.
Has no one anything to tell me? Can you not even describe my dream?
Silence is no answer.
You're supposed to be wise men, sorcerers, seers. So what do you see?
Sire, forgive me. No one here can read your mind.
Then what use are any of you?
My God can. He has shown me your dream.
Then you will be able to tell it to me. Every detail.
You saw a giant statue of a man. Its head made of gold. Then a giant stone struck the statue, smashing it to pieces.
I know that much. What does it mean?
The statue represents the empires that will follow yours. Yours is the greatest. The head of gold.
And the stone that destroys the statue.
That is the kingdom of God. In the future, God will reign over all the world. Forever.
Destroyed by God.
Yes, sire.
What's your name?
Daniel.
You're a brave man, Daniel. I value that. You will serve me.
Was it just me, or did Daniel have a look on his face like, what have I just got myself into? I love that. He walks up to him and he says, you're a brave man, Daniel. He's got that knife in his hand. Do you want to think, well, okay, put the knife down. Just put the knife down. Talk about bravery. Talk about courage. He says that the stone is the kingdom of God that will destroy all of the kingdom, all of the empires that come after you. By the way, he just said, the God I serve, my God. See, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was this big mystery. He didn't know what to make of it. Nobody knew what to make of it. Nobody else knew what it was. Do you have anything? Now, you might be thinking, well, I don't really have a whole lot of dreams. And I don't know people that have a lot of dreams that are mysterious that ask me, you know, what is interpreting dreams have to do with anything that I'm going through? Have you ever experienced anything that's just mysterious to you? That's just you just don't know how it's going to work out, or you just don't know how you got into this situation, into this particular place. You know, the reality is what Daniel tried to explain to Nebuchadnezzar, what he was explaining to those people in that room, and what he's explaining to us is that there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. You know, if you're in a situation where, you know, I just don't know how this is going to work out. I just don't know where I'm going to go from here. I don't know how I got into this. I don't know why my marriage is in the place that it is. Why my finances are like they are. Why this job keeps working out the way that it does. God is in heaven. He sees all, and he reveals mysteries to those who will ask, who will seek his wisdom. His guidance. We're victorious because our God is in heaven. Our God isn't on this earth. Our God isn't in a building. Our God isn't in a cupboard where we lock him away. He's in heaven where there is all supreme power, where he sees everything past, present, and future. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with, whatever mystery is wrecking your life, the kingdom of God can break that empire. And reveal the mystery, reveal the deliverance. He can reveal the victory that is around the corner that's waiting for you. Why can't I speak up? Why can't I share my faith? Why can't I? Why, God, where is this going? God sees that deliverance already. What do you not see a way out of? What's mysterious to you right now? What do you not see a way out of this morning? Our God is in heaven, and He reveals mysteries. We're victorious not only because of that, but we're victorious because our God is able to deliver. Turn with me to Daniel 3, 8 through 27. We referenced this already, but this is, another image of gold in a fiery furnace. And basically, the word comes down that, starting in verse 4, let's just start in verse 4. The herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O people, nations of men, every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, all of these, the music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace." You know the story. There's three that say, "We're not going to bow down." I mean, the ultimate reality is that this was a trap designed for these guys. There was a bunch of people that knew, hey, I know a way to get the... They just didn't like them, you know, because they knew down deep in their hearts that they served God. They served the true and living God, and they didn't give in to all the stuff that everyone else gave into. They didn't eat what they ate. They didn't do what they did, and they didn't worship who they worshiped. They said, I know a way to get them. Do you ever feel like the society is sort of set up that way to sort of trap Christians into really making a choice on who do you serve? Let's just see if these folks will bow down. I know a way. Let's pass a law. So often, whether it's a society at work or in our school system, what is that? Well, there's a law against that. I can't do it. Guess I'll just have to bow down with everybody else. Well, they didn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow down. And they got thrown into that furnace. And that's where they said, you know, when King Nebuchadnezzar found out, he was furious. He was furious about it. And so he orders them to come, and he makes the flames, hotter and hotter. And in verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save. And He will rescue us. I love their faith. He's able and He will. But even if He does not, do you ever feel like serving God when you know what's going to happen? When you know He's going to come through, when you know when it's something obvious, but is it that easy to serve when He say, you know what, this could cost me my life. I know God wants me to live. I know He wants me to be victorious. I know He wants me to do all of these things and to glorify Him. But even if He doesn't, I will still serve Him. You know what they were saying? God's will is supreme. My life is His. My life is His. And if He wants to take it, who am I to question? I will still serve Him. I love that. Now, this is not and you know the story, they end up getting thrown into the fiery furnace, and they look down, and they're like, I thought we only threw three in. There's four, and one looks like the Son of God. And they were delivered, and they came out, and they didn't even smell of anything that was burning. You see, the reality is that we can be victorious because God is able to deliver. Now, this does not guarantee a life free of injury or pain, but what it does guarantee is that when the righteous cry out, when there is pain, when there is suffering, when we do put ourselves in a position to suffer, when we do as His children, as God's dearly loved children, when we step out of that crowd, when we get out of our Christian safety places, and we step out into the limelight, into the into the crossfire, and when we do experience that pain, when we do experience that oppression, when we do experience that suffering, and we do cry out, the Lord hears them. And we just stop there. Let me add, down deep in your heart. This is what I believe sermoning is about. The art, the science of sermonizing is about this. Find that place in your heart. Is this true? If we just stop there, If we just stop, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Is that good enough? I mean, if the rest of it, if he delivers them from all their troubles, if they never wrote that, is it good enough to know that even in my distress, because I'm standing up for you, because I'm living the life, I'm stepping out of the crowd, I'm putting myself on your behalf in harm's way, and God, I know that you hear my cries. If that was it, is that good enough? Is it good enough just to be heard by God? Because church, in this life, with this flesh and this blood, sometimes it seems like that's all we get. Because there's people who suffer and they cry out and they die anyway. There's people that get sick and they pray and they die anyway. See, we have to believe that there is a deliverance coming. And it doesn't look like this. It looks like something that we can only read about. It looks like a deliverance that's not right now. Sometimes people are delivered victoriously in the flesh right here and right now. Sometimes the clouds cover the German army and 350,000 men escape through the sea at Dunkirk. Sometimes that happens, but sometimes they're bombed and they die. But do we believe that in that there's still a victory? Because God hears. Because God hears us. We're victorious because our God is able to deliver. And it might not look like what we want it to look like right now, but it will look like exactly what we want it to be when He comes and claims His church. We're victorious because our God is able to deliver. We're also victorious because our God sends. I love this. This is my favorite point, and I'm going to have to hurry through it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. For a month, Daniel couldn't pray. They made another decree. What is it with the decrees? And you can't pray, you can't bow down, you can't, you know, that's what they came up with. Aha, we'll get him this time. So you step out, you perform on behalf of God, and those that aren't performing, those that don't serve the true and living God, they're not going to like you because it makes them look bad. That's what happens. So they say, okay, here it is. For a month, only pray, anybody prays to anything but the king, and you're going in the lion's den. All right, we see the fire can't burn them up. I know what we'll do. We'll have something to eat them. See what they think of that. For a month. It was just a month. All Daniel had to do was play by the rules for a month. Maybe you're thinking, well, you know what? I could go a month. I could go a month without praying. I mean, other than meals, maybe I go a month without praying now. But not Daniel. And he wasn't sneaky about it either. The Bible says that in chapter 6 that Daniel heard the decree and three times a day went up to his room, opened his window, in plain sight, knelt three times to Jerusalem. Just prayed three times. And then the people ran to the king and said, ah, we got a guy. He's up in his room. He's praying. Throw him into the lion's den. Who is it? Daniel. Oh, I like that guy. Throw him in the lion's den. And then in verse 22, the king was real upset about this. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. This time it's Darius. It's a different king. But, he comes to he says in verse 22, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels. My God sent his angel. And he shut the mouths of the lions. And they haven't hurt me. See, Daniel was saved because God sent someone. Because God sent someone. I love that. He didn't say, you know, oh, the lions didn't hurt me because I'm such a good guy. He did say I was found innocent. I didn't do anything, but that wasn't why he was saved. God sent someone to shut their mouths. I am okay. I have been saved because God sent someone. Do you realize this morning we can say the very same thing? We can say the very same thing. We are victorious over the mysteries, over the suffering and the pain and the agony of living in a broken world. We are victorious because God sent someone. He sent someone to clothe. Remember that lion I talked about earlier? That lion that's roaming around seeking whom he may devour. Praise God that Jesus Christ was sent to shut his mouth. See, we live in a lion's den. Guys, this is our story. We live in a den of lions. But step out of the crowd. Step out of the crowd. Be the stone, the kingdom of God, that breaks all of the empires, that shatters, that crushes all of those empires that came after Nebuchadnezzar. Be part of that kingdom. Be thrown into the lion's den, knowing that Jesus was sent to shut their mouths. We are victorious. We are victorious. Do you want to be saved this morning from the mouths of all of those lions? Do you want to be saved this morning? You can be. Because our God delivered. How, Shane, can I be saved? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I think? Do you know what I deal with? Do you know what besetting sin that I am a part of? Do you know how just terrible I am? Well, it's a mystery to be sure, but God can save you. But Shane, there's no possible way that God can look the other way. Our God is able to deliver you because he has sent. Do you want to know God that well? Do you want to be that close to him? Do you want to be that courageous? You can. Confess Christ as your Savior. Be restored from wherever you are. And be victorious. Don't be a victim. Be victorious as together we stand and as we sing.